people. It's about the Word of God. And they didn't go out there and just use flattering words to try to grow a big congregation. They just preached the Word of God. And Paul says, look, I can say I did not come in there and plant a church and start a church using flattery. And God lays that out as a noble and right thing. That's what it is. It's a noble and right thing. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Says this, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. So God has no use for flattery. And God then tells us, you ought to have no use for flattery. It's not about you. It's not about me. We ought to have no use for flattery. So this verse, it kind of lays it out. And here's what happens. You know, when you look at a verse in the Word of God, you think, you know what? God, it is amazing. Of course, God understands us completely. But it is amazing how well God understands the human nature, isn't it? He writes about it. He says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, it's connected. Meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. So what you've got is a guy that goes about and he says, oh, Taylor, I'll tell you what. You know, let me tell you something about Matthew. And all of a sudden, we start telling tales. And in so doing, what I'm really doing is I'm cutting Matthew down. I'm building up myself. And then I'm going to tell Taylor, aren't you glad that we're not like that? And Taylor is swallowing the whole story, which may be true, may not be true, but Taylor's mind is being manipulated and formed about Matthew by me saying, but we're not like that. I'll tell you what, I'm sure glad, Taylor, that you don't act like he does. I'm sure glad, Taylor, that you, oh boy, you are much more faithful than he is. You think about all these things. And what have I just done? I have brought a tale. I have manipulated him to accept that tale through the use of flattery, through the use of buttering him up. And now he is on my side. Takes place all the time, doesn't it? I mean, who would connect talebearing and flattery? God connects talebearing and flattery because God understands why people use the use of flattery and what they do with it. So he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Better be careful. Don't tell a secret to a flatterer. It'll come back in a wrong way. Somebody goes around, you got to be careful. Got to be careful. Don't tell a secret to a flatterer. So we're to follow God's example. God has no use for flattery. We should have no use for flattery. Let's thirdly look at the dangers of flattery. Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26. The book of Proverbs is full of practical things for practical daily living. The Word of God is written so that unsaved people can get saved and so that saved people know how to live. Proverbs 26. Verse 28 says this, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. A flattering mouth worketh ruin. A flattering mouth worketh ruin. Why is a person flattering you? Typically, it's because they want something from you, right? Or they want someone to do something for them. And so they use flattery. I know very well when my wife comes up and says, boy, you're handsome. It's like, okay, what do you want? No. She's not even in here to defend herself this morning. She's in sunbeams this morning. But it's like, okay, what do you want? You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Now look, a word fitly spoken. Last week we looked, say the right thing at the right time in the right way. You know, there's a time when people need to be encouraged. There's a time when a person does something good and you ought to praise them for that. There's a time when your children do the right thing and you praise them for doing right because it ingrains in them the need to do right. That's not flattery. Flattery is when you're looking and you're talking about someone in order to manipulate, in order to get something from them. And so it worketh ruin. There's a goal behind it. And that goal is not for you. The goal of the flatterer is always to benefit the flatterer, to benefit themselves. And so you carefully watch these things. It's a danger. It is a worldly tactic used by false prophets preying upon the lust of the flesh. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, this is for context's sake, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So the passage is written about false prophets. And we look at verse 17 and 18. It describes what these false prophets are going to do. He says, these are wells without water. You know what? If you're thirsty, we used to, when we lived in Russia and were missionaries over there, we would run in the park. It was about a kilometer around the park. And you'd come at the end of that at a hot day, and there was a hydrant right there, and you'd want that hydrant to work at that time. And most of the time it worked. Sometimes it's like, uh-oh, there's no water. Of course, you had to be careful. In Russia, you got to be careful. Because after you run, you should only drink warm water in Russia. I don't know why. They never explained that to me, but that was the philosophy. If the kids, they knew, if there was an older lady standing by the hydrant, don't drink from the hydrant. She will chew you upside one side and out the other, and you can't drink that cold water. You're too hot to drink that cold water. You're going to get sick. So you got to watch when you're around the hydrants. If there's nobody there, drink. There's no problem with it. It's cold. It's good. It's fresh. If somebody's there, you got to be careful because they're going to tell you that. But you want the well to work, right? You go to the well because you're thirsty. And if the well has no water, you go to the faucet because you're thirsty. And, oh, there's no water. That's not a good thing. These false prophets are described as wells without water. So they're saying one thing. What does the well say? It doesn't speak, but the well says, here's water. You see the hydrant. In America, they have a red top. Here's water. Over in Russia, they have a blue top. Here's water. And there's water there. These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak, look at this now, great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. So here's the false prophets. They get up to preach, and they allure people through what? The lust of the flesh. They appeal to the lust of the flesh. If you give to God, God will bless. But if you give to God, what they really mean is if you give to our ministry, God is going to bless you abundantly. Someone's going to pay off your house for you. You are not going to have any financial troubles down the road. God never said that. But people, through the lust of the flesh and through much wantonness, boy, I want someone to pay off my house. I better give to this ministry. And usually these people are living so far above the average person. I read up on some of them. Joyce Myers, a false prophet, if you will, She makes $900,000 a year just from Joyce Meyer's Ministries. Her husband, who works for her, that's kind of a little bit backwards according to the Bible, makes $400,000 a year. Between the two of them, that's $1.3 million. And they're telling all these poor people, give to us, and you will have what we have. And I watched people over in Russia fall for that. Oh, look how God's blessed her. No, she flattered you and manipulated you. And God said, false prophets are going to do this. They're going to promise you the world. They're going to say, boy, if you're right with God, you're never going to get sick. We call this often today prosperity gospel. If you come to God, everything's going to be perfect in your life. These are flattering words. They're words used with tactics. You know what? This is a tactic that's used by lawyers as well. You drive around the United States of America, and, you know, 70s and 80s, I never saw this. There are billboards now. And, you know, we will help you get what you deserve because of your car wreck. Or if you are sick, we're going to get for you because you deserve. You were taken advantage of. And they advertise these things. You'll notice them. If you pay attention as you're driving down the road, you'll notice them. They got their ads on the radios. And it's all, the lawyer comes in and it's all, we're here to help you. You, boy, you were taken advantage of. You were right, they were wrong. I'll tell you what, that person in this divorce situation, they did you wrong. You are right, you had no fault in it whatsoever, and we are on your side. Why don't they just say, we want your money? That's really what they're saying, but they're trying to use flattery to manipulate people. False prophets do it. A lot of times lawyers do it. Not every lawyer is necessarily doing that. But these ones that are advertising for your, oh, we're here for your benefit. How about pro bono then? It means without pay, right? Okay. How about you do this work for me for free if you're so much on my side, okay? You think about it, it's a worldly tactic used by false prophets preying upon the lust of the flesh. Let's go to the next one, Proverbs chapter 5. The dangers of flattery. It worketh ruin. It's a worldly tactic used in the spiritual realm by people. Proverbs chapter 5. Before we move there, I've been in a lot of churches, and, you know, sometimes I don't know if they mean anything by it or not, but a pastor, he'll come up and he'll introduce some man in the church. He'll say, I'll tell you what, this guy here, he'll give you the shirt off his back. This is my most faithful guy right here. I don't have a problem if he tells me that, but when the guy's standing right there, I have to scratch my head just a little bit and think, why'd you tell me that with him standing right there? It just doesn't set that well. I'm glad the man's faithful. And I hope, you hope that it's not just using flattery for some means. You hope that. You hope that the man is just sincere. But, you know, when the Bible warns about flattery. And so you've got to be careful how you deal and how you talk with. At the same time, that balance of, yeah, it's good to encourage people and exhort people to continue on the right road and all of that. So Proverbs chapter 5, the other danger is this. Adultery and fornication are connected in the Bible with flattery. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Wow. Here she is. And it describes it in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. It's the strange woman. Her mouth is smoother than oil. I've met people that have a smooth mouth. They can talk their way out of anything. I've met people that can talk their way out of traffic tickets. I never did all that good a job at that. Haven't had one in a long time. I haven't been stopped in a long time. But I never did too well at talking myself out of a traffic ticket. But I've met people, they can just turn it on and it's smooth. I have met people that you walk up and they start to talk to you and you feel like, ooh, let me away from this conversation, because they just turn it on and it is one of the most smooth talking people. And I'm thinking, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. I knew two missionaries, and one of them, I said, had a golden tongue and the other a silver. One was better and the other, I watched them talk people out of stuff. I mean, talk churches out of stuff. Wow. I'm thinking, did you really need that? And when he goes in and he walks away with a brand new, I forget what it was. It was like a, it would be the equivalent of a Ford F-350. Paid for and shipped to Russia. I'm thinking. But I watched the man work. Sometimes I was on the end of it where he was, and it's like he'd talk, and it's like your hand would go to your wallet and you start pulling it out. It's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I don't even have any money in there. The silver tongue, the golden tongue. Well, here's a woman, and her end goal is adultery or fornication. And it says her mouth is smoother than oil. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. Both chapters deal with the same scenario. But it says, and let's go to verse 23. It says, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. God says, look, there are some commandments. One of those commandments happens to be, thou shalt not commit adultery. It says that commandment is a lamp unto you. The law that wrote that commandment in the law, that's a light to your path. It's to keep you out of the darkness. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. When someone comes along and says, hey, these are the commandments of God. These things are right. Those things are the way of life for you. But in verse 24, it says, to keep thee. And specifically, he's talking to young men in this passage. He says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And it goes on. But it says, look, there's some flattery involved there. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 21. It says, again, it's talking about a simple man. In verse 7 of chapter 7, it says, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. It says in verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. That's pretty potent of a verse, right? Flattering lips, she forced him to commit adultery with her. You think of a man abusing a woman and you think of physical force. God puts the speech on the other side. The woman forcing the man is done with the tongue. That's a dangerous thing. We live, and honestly, we live in a society where we are reaching epidemic levels of teachers fornicating, committing adultery with young people. Literally, twice a week, if not more, there's a news article that comes out. This woman, and she was the teacher, and this high schooler. Why? And honestly, you look at some of them and they got their pictures on there and you think, why would this young man go for this? The power of the tongue. She comes along. Really, he's just a scrawny teenager, and no disrespect to the teenagers, but he's just a scrawny teenager. She's going to try to use her tongue to flatter him. Oh, you're so handsome. Oh, you're more manly than most men. And they use these phrases and whatever they say to manipulate that young man, to draw him into an adulterous situation, and he ruins his life. Loses his purity. It used to be, it was the men teachers that you had to be careful of, and you still do, as they try to manipulate the young ladies. It is sick what's going on in our world today. And God warns about it. And God says, look, if someone starts using flattery, you got to be careful. Now, you know, obviously, wives, you're going to tell your husbands how handsome they are. Men, it's just because they're blinded by love. Because the truth is, there's not a one of us that are. Okay? And that's just the facts. Okay? The other thing they'll do, you know, I've got a daughter and she looks at her fiance. She's going to be marrying on January the 19th. And it's like, oh, you've got mountains of muscles. Mountains of muscles. Oh, you. These poor people. You know, you got to do it while you got the chance, right? But you know what? I look at him. He's got a few muscles, but you know, just wait till they're developed like mine. I mean, you know, you look at these things and you just got to be careful. And that's not flattery. That's, he's my fiance. He's the handsomest thing in the world right now. And I hope he always will be. He should be, to you, the handsomest thing in the world. I don't think so. But to you, he should be, and I hope you don't lose that. And to you, she ought to be the most beautiful thing that ever walked the face of the earth. And I hope you don't lose that. Okay, that's the way it ought to be, and that's not flattery. That's a whole other scenario. But if some person comes along, and they try to manipulate you and try to use your characteristics, oh, you're so this, or oh, you're so that, and you know, they're a married person, you better watch out. If they're not married to you, they're not engaged to you, they shouldn't be talking to you like that. The use of flattery led to adultery. I heard this one. I heard it with my own ears. It was a relative. The man says to her, this is your world, and we're all passengers in it. I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding. And you would look at that and you would think everybody in the world would recognize, and I'm just thinking, how many women have you used this phrase on? And she's just like, and guess what? Sadly, it works. Why? Because flattery is a powerful thing. And you've got to be careful. Men, you've got to be careful. Ladies, you've got to be careful. There's danger connected with flattery in the Word of God. There's danger connected with it. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. And the right way is two people coming in their purity, standing and saying, I vow to be faithful to you and you alone till death do us part. I will take care of you. I will provide your housing, your clothes, your food, your car insurance, your vehicle to drive. It's adding up. You ready for that? It's adding up. You know what? And after I marry you, only then, and then the physical relation is perfectly pure and right in the eyes of God and man. Only then, accept no substitutes. God has a right way, and only that way is right. Anything else is wrong. It's against God's plan. Lastly, God deals harshly with those who use this tool for themselves. Psalms chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. If you use flattery, you better think twice about it. Psalm chapter 12, verse 2 through 4, the Bible says this: "They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak." I'm going to jump to verse 4. We're going to come back to verse 3. "Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" These people have used flattery to prevail time and time again, to manipulate people time and time again. They have done it so much, they've become masters of it. And they said, "With our tongue will we prevail." And they're convinced of it because they've done it. They've done it. God says, verse 3, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." God doesn't like it. God hates it. God says, "I will deal very harshly with the person who uses flattery to manipulate and get for themselves, to get their own way." You got to watch this even in families. In families, you watch your children. If one of them starts developing a way to manipulate the others, put a stop to it. It's not a right thing. It's not a good characteristic to be in there. I've watched outside of the church a scenario where the youngest child had complete control over two older ones, telling them what to do. And I'm like, "You're twice her size. Why do you obey her?" I don't get it. I don't understand it. But it is a dangerous thing when a person learns the use of flattery, learns the use of manipulating people to get what they want. You be careful. Watch for these things in your children, because it's a dangerous thing and God deals harshly with it. Lastly, Job 17. Job 17. And verse 5. The Bible says, "He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail." That's pretty serious, isn't it? You think about that. You got to be careful. God deals harshly with those who use flattery to get their own way. If you know a flatterer, be warned. If you are a flatterer, this thing can affect not only you, it can affect your children, according to the Word of God. That's very dangerous. And I'll finish with this. You think about this. You stand before God. It's judgment time. You may be able to manipulate a human judge. God tells in the Word of God, He says, you know, Samuel talks about his judgeship, I guess if you'll call it that. He says, "I took no gifts." There's a reason that Samuel could not be a judge and take gifts. Gifts blind. You got to be careful about things. If you're a judge, it ought to be a law that you can't take gifts if you're a judge. But you got to be careful about that. But there is a judge, and He is going to judge at the end of time according to the Word of God. Jesus Christ will be the judge. But His judgment is already fixed. It's based upon the Word of God. No amount of flattery is going to get you out of hell. If you come to that judgment without Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't even show up to that judgment. But if you come to that judgment and you have not trusted Jesus Christ, There's no amount of talk. There's no amount of ability of the tongue, the golden tongue, the silver tongue is not going to help you at that time. God cannot be manipulated. He cannot be manipulated. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Get reconciled to God while you still have a chance. Because there, after you die, it's too late. There is no further chance. If you're not saved today, if there's never been a point in your life where you realize you were a sinner on your way to hell, and you said the only answer is Jesus Christ. It's not a church, it's not baptism, it's not money, it's not anything else. The only answer is Jesus Christ, and you turned and you put your faith completely and wholly in Christ alone. If you have never done that, asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior, trusting only in Him, if you've never come to that point in your life, you need to get saved, and you need to get saved today. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of anything beyond. You don't even have a guarantee of 2 hours from now. We don't know when we're going to die. And when you die, you stand before God. There's only one thing that you can say to God: Jesus Christ paid for my sins. Of course, God will already know that. There's not going to be the question. I get disturbed. I ask the question several times a week to people. If you stood at the gates of heaven and God said, "Why should I let you in?" what would you say? I get very disturbed when people say, "I don't know." And I show them from the Bible, or I quote scripture to them saying, "Jesus Christ is the only answer." My answer is not I'm a preacher. It's not I have a good person. It's simply I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He died for me, and I've asked Him to be my Savior. That's it. But I get very disturbed when people, when I say that, and they say, "Oh, I've trusted Christ." I'm like, why in the world then did you not tell me that you would say Jesus? Why would you say, "Well, I've been a good person"? Why would you say, "I don't know what I would say"? If you know Jesus, you know the answer. If you don't know Jesus and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is the only answer. And no amount of anything you can say with your tongue will have any influence. It's simply, did you trust my Son, Jesus Christ, or not? That's it. God's not looking at your church membership or your baptism, your money, your good works. God's looking, did you trust Jesus Christ as Savior or not? If you did, you'll be with me for eternity. That's a promise that God gave. If you didn't, you have eternity in hell and the lake of fire following. That's the promise God gave. No flattering, no manipulation. That's what it is. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have an invitation. This is just